Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Forge D20 podcast. I am your game master, Zach Coldiron, joined by my best friends, Hunter, Raph, and Dalton. Last time, the party met Dalcom Goldstrike, who was just making camp on the shores of Eden Eflar. They discovered that his mission is to find, well, a former close friend of Lloyd and Moros, and that would be Chorus, who sunk to the bottom of the sea. As they chatted up by the campfire, they were guided up to the gates of Eden and Eflar by Dalcom, and along the way, they were attacked by some very hungry predator birds. After a very tough and difficult combat, they finally have made their way right outside the gates to this city. Now, I'm going to describe what the skyline of this city looks like to you guys. So as you guys can see the exterior of the city, you see a very Victorian Gothic styled city. You can see that there are some flying ships flying in the sky, descending into the ocean, crashing into it, and then floating, being buoyant on the seas as if it's a normal ship. This is something that is unfamiliar territory for at least one of you, and that would be Moros. This is something you've never seen before. And you can see that this city is powered by some sort of arcane-looking lights. As you can see, it is midday, but there are, like, lanterns kind of lining the streets of this city that are lit with the colors blue to give it some sort of what you can assume some sort of ambiance at night. You can see, at least from the exterior of the city gates, that this city is bustling with people. As you're going along the road on your right-hand side, you can see a human male packing stuff into his wagon. He's got like a salt and pepper dreads and a little bit of a long beard and dark skin as he's loading something into this wagon. Across the way, you can see sitting by a campfire that is currently not burning, a merchant who is selling goods. And near the entrance to the city gates, you can see the gates of the city, which are large steel gates that are the color blue. And you also see one human male standing there armed with... Lloyd would know that this is a rifle of some kind or a rail gun, but Moros, this is something new to you, something you've only seen one time before, something that Graham, a member of the web, had when you first encountered him. And they are accompanied by four automatons, robot-like beings who are standing in front of a large cylindrical contraption that is currently giving off a blue cone of light from the top of the contraption that appears to be scanning the bodies of people that are about to enter the city. So, what do you guys want to do?
Dalcom, who's been leading them, and, you know, he's seen these people a bunch. He trusts them. He's just going to continue guiding. He's going to walk forward.
Morris is going to lean over to Lloyd as he's falling behind Dalcom. Lloyd, could you explain to me what in the hell is all this? What is that? And he points off at the floating ship in the distance. What is that? He points at the glowing blue lights. And what the hell is that? Thick scanning people.
The flying ship is an airship. It flies in the sky. Magic.
Combination of magic and technology. Fine.
Some type of spell technology.
Very. Very freeing.
Or perhaps some sort of powerful sorcerer in there, perhaps making it fly.
No. It's a big rock. Big rock. In big metal container.
The blue light.
Depending, I guess.
Honestly, I've never taken any checkpoint into the city, so I'm stumped.
This is the scanner. Looking for criminals, but I'm already bringing you in, so you should be okay.
Morris looks at Lloyd.
Should you put me in cuffs?
Would I be considered a criminal?
No, you will.
No, you're fine. Just him. I don't have manacles on me. I kind of was just expecting to bring you in as a, as a defector, as an informant of sort.
More shrugs.
If you want, I could put you in manacles.
I mean, if it makes your job easier.
Do you have manacles?
No.
Then I cannot put you in manacles. Turns to Moros. Do you have manacles?
Cuffs? Is that what you mean?
Yes, manacles, cuffs.
Moros looks at him. Of course. A knight of the Wild Hunt is always prepared for such things. And he looks in his bag. And he reaches in, sifting through a few things. Ah, there they are. A pair of rusty cuffs. These were my father's, but...
He takes them and immediately latches them onto Lloyd. There we go.
Morris looks at Lloyd. Looks at the cuffs, looks back at Lloyd. Well, I hope I have the keys.
Balcom is currently working on Lloyd's belt to get his sheath off. Takes it off. I will give this back as soon as we are inside and away from the guards.
All right.
Let's go. And he's going to grab the chains and pull Lloyd with him.
You don't have to yank so very damn nicely. Hard.
Apologies.
God damn it.
Trying to break the man.
Let's go. And he's just gonna pull him along as we approach the gate.
You know, I know a guy who broke both his arms at the same time once. It's not pleasant. Be careful.
I'm sure it's not.
Alright. As you all approach, you see standing at the forefront is the human holding the railgun. He looks at you all intently. He's wearing this like kind of like black skin tight outfit, and he's wearing an officer cap. On the symbol, you can see the symbol of an eye. That is just kind of basic. The iris is not like filled in, it's just a circle. And he approaches.
Hello, travelers. Welcome to FLAR. Please state your names and business, and then you'll need to step onto this scanner so we can make sure that you're not a threat or a criminal.
Jeff, it's Delcom, you know, the Acolyte, or the Order of Altaïs. I just left here yesterday.
Sorry, seen a lot of faces come through here, and I haven't gotten much sleep.
It sounds like it. Well, I bring good news, I guess. This man, and I point to Lloyd, is, well, willing to help against the eight-legged bug.
The web?
The web, yes, thank you. He once was working with them and escaped, and now travels with an adventurer group, and well, he agreed to work with us, well, with the Order of Altaïus, to, you know, root them out.
Roll me a persuasion or deception check, please.
I'm not lying.
You're not. Just, you don't tell me and then just roll. Don't tell the audience either.
13. Right, 13.
He looks intently at Lloyd for a moment. Why shouldn't Skywatch just take this terrorist in?
Well, because I'm the one who got him. I got him. And that was me. That was my achievement. I did that.
He looks
at... And, well, if you want relations between our two empires to continue to grow, sometimes you have to work with us.
Roll again with advantage.
15.
He sighs for a moment. The shit's above my pay grade anyway. Alright. No funny business. He turns over to one of the automatons. This one over here. He begins to whisper something in his ear. This automaton, and they all look relatively the same, but this one looks a little different. Very, like, silver armor with yellow trimming. They have, like, a cape that's bolstered onto one of their shoulders, and they have some black. They appear to be a knight, but they don't have a physical face. Where their eyes are, there's two little golden dots. Looks at the human, nods, turns back. Jeff steps to the side. The automaton speaks. Step into the scanner, one at a time.
Okay, RoboCop. Here we go. A step up first and get my scan on.
Alright. Dalcom, you see the blue cone of light begin to scan your body, and as it goes over your silhouette, a blue light begins to emanate onto your body.
It tickles.
You do see that your gauntlets begin to glow a little bit, as if it's tracking some sort of magical presence. The automaton quickly looks at your gauntlets to make sure that it's not infused with anything dangerous. Nods.
They make me strong.
And he allows you to go through.
Come on, come on.
Who's next?
He's got his chain, so...
I guess I'll guide Lloyd up. Here we go. Help him up.
As you guide Lloyd up, it does the same thing and scans for him. Lloyd, you still have your immovable rod on you, correct?
It's attached to the... belt.
Gotcha. So, that is the only thing on Lloyd that lights up, besides the back of his head, where his tattoo is... And you hear, under his breath, the human scoffs, "Dirty fucking terrorist."
Hey, no, he's working with us. It'll be good.
Doesn't change the fact that he's a fucking terrorist.
Okay, well, you know.
You. Looks at you, Moros. Let's go.
Come on, come on. You'll be okay.
Moros, kind of looks over at Lloyd, looks over at Dalcom, and then shrugs. Have it your way. And he struts forward into the blue light. It better not tickle, though. I don't like being tickled. He stands there waiting.
As it scans you, Your armor, your adamantine chainmail, begins to glow as if it's emanating some sort of magical aura. However, something else begins to glow on you. The horn that you found quite some time ago in that temple, in that ruin, begins to glow a certain color as well. You see the human, Jeff, he comes up and inspects it. Any idea what this does?
It makes a sound when I blow in it.
Well, it's coming off as magical. What sort of magical properties does it have? Have you noticed or anything? Because this is unknown to us.
He looks at him. He looks at the item for a second there. I don't suppose I know what it does. All I know is that it's mine. And he reaches out and snatches it back.
He looks at you intently for a second. Blow it.
I'm sorry, we just met.
No, he meant the horn. He meant the
he
horn.
He shakes his head.
Wait.
Moros.
What else would he have blown?
Shakes his head. Very well. He...
Did summon a...
I would grab a great beast hand, but I don't think it's big enough. And then he blows the horn.
You blow off the horn, and it echoes throughout the city. He kind of tenses up as if he's waiting for something to happen, but nothing happens. All right. We'll let you get a pass on this item. Usually we wouldn't let anybody in the city, but I can't imagine what else you would do with a fucking horn.
One second, my good man.
Huh?
I blew it for you, now you have to blow it for me.
That's... Why would he need to do that? You just blew it.
It's a joke, Dalcom.
I'm sorry? And now you have someone who has no idea what sex is. He has no idea, no concept of dirty jokes.
Take the prisoner in the city. Wait, I grow tired of waiting. Take the terrorist scum in. You heard Jeff, come on with it.
He's your friend. Wait a minute.
Jeff just stares blankly at all of you. Can you please just go away and get in the damn city?
Yes, yes. Let's go, let's go. Bye, RoboCop. I'll see you again tomorrow.
You see him, he whispers into the ear of the automaton as you guys walk away.
Doo-doo.
As you all begin to enter the city streets of Eflar, you can see that many people are running about the city here. There seems to be plenty of to do. There's plenty of shops. There's plenty of restaurants. There's many tinkerer shops, as if that seems to be the biggest thing here is tinkering. Anything having to do with artificing seems to be a big deal here. A lot of magical item shops in particular. Maybe some of them are out of your price range. Maybe some of them are not. That is for you to find out. However, something you notice... actually, everybody roll me a perception check real quick.
I'm not the best at those, actually. Oh, an 8. Today's going to be one of those days.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Lloyd, as you guys are walking throughout the city streets, you see hanging on certain buildings are blue orbs. And these blue orbs have the symbol of the eye, which is the symbol of the Skywatch. And you notice that the eyes are following you three.
Dalcom.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm gonna gesture with my head and my brows.
like I'm a nod upwards and then kind of, you know, flex my eyebrows. Skywatch seems to be watching over us. I don't think they fully trust, you. Me.
No.
They definitely don't trust me.
No, probably not. Probably not.
And my good friend.
We go.
Moros.
We go to order. We go to my order.
So
sure they ain't gonna ambush us before we make it to your order?
Oh, no. Surely not. If they do that, well, that's declaring war. And that's a bad idea. That'd be a bad idea.
How high up are you in your order? Because...
I'm an acolyte, which is, well, one level higher than a clergyman, and, well, but it's one level lower than, well, a lieutenant.
Okay, so war really wouldn't actually start, but tensions would.
There's not many of us here right now, so it essentially would be declaring war. Especially because we are here on a peaceful negotiation mission.
I still think you overestimate your value.
Maybe.
Well, let's keep quickly then.
Any longer so Skywatch can keep watching us.
Okay, let's go.
Though, Lloyd, I am insulted that you would say I'm untrustworthy.
I did call you my good friend, though.
You did, and for that I am honored. The feeling is mutual, Lloyd.
You just called him a terrorist.
Yeah, that's right, you did call me a terrorist.
And I called you a terrorist because he called you a terrorist. I was merely going along with the plan. You're not actually a terrorist, are you?
No, I've never terrorized the city.
There you are.
I ran away before that ever got to that point.
That felt like a non-answer.
That works for me.
All right, let's go. And right. I'm going to take them to the building we are using as our base of operations. Our little embassy.
Okay. As you all walk through the city streets of Eflar, what you notice along the way is, if you were to look in some of the alleys, you can see that they're pretty clean, tidy, and neat. Most cities would have some sort of a homeless population. However, here doesn't seem to be much or any, if at all. And as you all turn left on the main street that guides throughout the city of Eflar, you all have reached a base of operations for the god of war, Altaïs. As you all are outside of the building, you can see that the symbol of a warhammer is crested on a flag outside of this very... multi-spired building that appears to potentially be a church of some kind. You can tell that this flag is being covered up by another symbol, so this clearly is not necessarily a church of Altaïs, but however, this could be a church to another deity, and they are being allowed to use this building as a base of operations, likely granted access by the High Council of the Bright Star, the people who lead the city of Eflar. Now, as you all enter this building, you all are greeted by a bunch of commoners, just talking about what their conversations are. You have no idea. However, the High Priest of Altaïs A elven woman with long, flowing white hair is sitting at the altar, reading some sort of tome, turns her head up, and locks eyes with Dalcom for a moment. Dalcom, you know her name to be Evangeline. She is the high priest and heading this operation of trying to build unity between the Elicorian kingdom and the city state of Eflar.
Hello, Lini.
It is Evangeline Dalcom. But hello, it is good to see you again.
You know it's hard for me to say.
I know, I know. I am granting you grace, child of war. Tell me.
I bring friends.
And what kind of friends have you brought me? Hello, welcome.
Well, let me take these off first. And he turns to Lloyd, looks at the manacles, looks over at Moros. The key.
Oh, yes. Moros goes searching through the bag. Yes, you see he reaches down like at the very bottom, he's like reaching in with half his arm. Ah, there it is. I think I've got it. He pulls it out. It's all rusted out looking and just old and decrepit. Hopefully it doesn't Dalcom break. Try to use it.
Dalcom takes it, puts it in the lock, tries to turn it. Does it turn or does it break?
Roll me a sleight of hand check.
Seven.
And the key, the end of it, is cracked. It's fucked.
Oop. All right. And he breaks the chain instead.
So you are technically not bound anymore, but you have the cuffs still wrapped around your hands, Lloyd.
I have a 19. I've got gauntlets of ogre power.
Oh, so you're trying to break the cuffs off, too. Yeah, just roll me a strength athletics, then.
No, I'm breaking the chain. I'm not breaking the cuffs off. I'm not trying to break the dude's wrist.
Yeah, please don't.
I'm just breaking the chain.
We'll just say you do.
Yeah.
Show of strength for your gauntlets.
He can have a cool motif of having manacles wrapped around his wrist.
Well, you said you've brought me some friends. Let me introduce myself. I am Evangeline. She reaches out her hand.
I give Lloyd his sword back as well.
To shake Lloyd's hand first.
He was, Miss Evangeline. Part of the web.
Ah, one of the ones they call a terrorist around here.
He's going to help us take them out.
To take them out was quite a task. They're like bugs that cannot be extinguished. However, that doesn't mean all people from the Undercity are bugs like that. There's good down there, and I hope the people of Eflar can maybe see that one day and look past the evils that come from beneath. Maybe you are one of the good ones, Lloyd. I would hope so.
Phrasing is poor.
Much, much better than the counselor who came from what you people call the Undercity.
Counselor? Don't think I've heard of them.
There's a high council here.
Oh, you're talking about the High Council of Eflar, the Bright Stone, whatever they fucking call themselves. Bright Star. Oh, that's right. That's what they call themselves. Yeah, I'm only here to garner a relationship between our two countries, mostly for our benefit. So the technology could be a useful capability for something classified I'm not allowed to discuss at this time. And
you seem rather arrogant in your treatment of Eflar.
Me?
Just your tone.
I must be.
She is very, very, very strong. Very high up. as well. It's
that's supposed to scare
well, it's me? Her. It's her, and well, it's really just her. There is no archpriest anymore.
What happened? They die?
No, he retired. Very old.
All right. Evangeline goes over to Moros to introduce herself, and you might be
Moros Omenborn.
Moros Omenborn, it is a pleasure to meet you. I don't think I've seen a tiefling in quite some time. Your horns look different from some of the tieflings that I have met. Tell me, is there a reason why? I'm just curious, is all.
Well, as far as I know, this is how all tieflings look. I've never met another one.
You've never met another tiefling? Well, you might meet some throughout the city. There's a couple scattered about here and there.
How do I differ from them? He looks a little perplexed. He has his head tilted. What's so off about my horns?
Look like male cow.
Yes, yours is more like a stag of some kind. When I see most tieflings, they have horns, well, like devils.
Sorry about that.
Well, I assure you, to me it means nothing. They are what they are.
Interesting. I was just curious, is all.
I just thought you were a red elf. You had fun choice in headdress.
You've seen red wood elves?
Summer elves, yes.
Evangeline?
Of the summer elves, the Elad.
Oh, the Eladrin elves. Yes.
Yes, those.
Those aren't wood elves.
I didn't say wood elves.
You said wood elves.
I said red elf. With fun choice of headdress.
Up your vocabulary. Fix your speech.
That hurts. That hurts. My chest aches. I don't know why.
Anywho, I'm sorry. Why did you bring these gentlemen to me again? Your conversation made me forget things.
Sorry. First, remember, big Crimson Bull.
Ah.
That?
Yes, the Crimson Bull.
These two traveled with him.
You traveled with the Crimson Bull?
Well, traveled with him or his host, sort of.
She squints her eyes. Tell me, what was it like traveling with one of the greatest legends in the history of Lodrianth?
He was a good man.
He was okay.
Mass murderer, good man. Interesting. What makes you say he was a good man, Moros Omenborn?
As I said before, he's a host.
A vessel.
A vessel? Do you know what to?
Moros begins to chuckle. What to? What to? Something beyond my understanding. Something beyond comprehension. Let's just put it this way. Oh, give me a moment. Alright, where was I?
Beyond your comprehension.
Oh. Yes, beyond my comprehension. To put it lightly, what I can only assume is at least a demigod, a god, a demigod. A monster the size of a mountain.
The size of a mountain? There's no way it's bigger than
this mountain, right? This is the largest mountain on the entire world.
It's about half the size.
Holy shit.
No, it's large. All it left behind in its wake was red. Where once there was a ship full of people, there remained a handful.
And we were only caught in the aftermath of what it was fighting.
What was it fighting?
One of the sea leviathans.
Ah, Cerula, the cerulean serpent. You saw her.
She guided us.
As in her nature to guide travelers lost in the sea. Interesting. Two demigods fighting. That must have been quite the sight to see. In a way, I'm jealous, but I wouldn't want to be put in that kind of situation. I'm sorry you had to experience that. The Crimson Bull. I can't get over this.
Well, yes, that's the thing that wants to take host in our Bone Bull Man friend guy.
So tell me about your Bone Bull Man friend guy. Where is he now?
Bottom of the ocean.
Don't take this the wrong way, but that's probably for the best. If he's the vassal for such a powerful deity like that, the entire realm would be in danger. Especially if it's the size you say it is.
Oh, the realm still is very much in danger.
She looks over at you and squints her eyes. Besides this deity, you say? Or just... what do you mean by that?
Well, if this being lives in water, comes from water, and its vessel falls into a big body of water, don't you think it's not going to exactly let its vessel stay at the big body at the bottom of a big body of water? Don't you think it's going to let it go free, get it back to land so it can continue its objectives?
You'd be right about that, but not even any arcana tech that Eflar has access to could probably get us that deep. The pressure down deep in the ocean is too vast.
What about for a god, a demigod?
To take down a demigod? There might be someone I know who could develop a weapon of that kind of destruction. However, this man is insane. You probably don't want to speak to them.
I didn't say anything about killing a demigod.
Well, then what do you
mean? That is not on the agenda. I don't mean anything. We've been brought here by this one. To you. We don't know what we're here for. I have no idea. You asked us about the Crimson Bull or whatever the hell it's called. I have nothing to offer to this thing. I'm merely telling you what we saw and what we think. We have no agenda with this. We barely survived the encounter with it. You think we want to kill it? I don't think it can be killed.
Anything can be killed if you try hard enough.
One more thing.
Yes.
Or maybe not just one more thing, but quite a few things. Seeing as you have a more arrogant attitude, especially towards Eflar and their High Council, I assume you guys aren't merry of friends. Just looking for benefits.
You would be correct in your assumption there. I am not a big fan of most on that council. However, there is one on the High Council of the Bright Star that I do quite like. They seem to have their head on straight.
So I take it if we say anything, you won't say anything to them.
Oh, absolutely not. I'm trying to build a relationship with this place, not to jeopardize
it. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power, especially for negotiations.
Well, all right. They have a MacGuffin.
The fuck is a MacGuffin?
I kind of end all be all tool.
Go on.
Now we're dealing. Our original goal was to make it here in order to realistically destroy it or seal it. And it's because there's another threat besides our big bull demon.
Do you really want to tell them, Lloyd? Do you think they're trustworthy?
They're a religious faction.
Kind of. Let's so on worship, more so on security of the realms.
And there we go.
Fine.
God of War. Worship through conquest.
We didn't have to wait in line to meet the head of this. What are you guys?
With the Order of Altaïus.
Order of that guy.
The God of War.
The God of War. Well, and we skipped the line straight to the head here, head honcho. So I think it's all right. Plus, if we leave it in their hands,
Altaïus isn't here.
We might not really need to, I don't know, deal with the majority of it.
Moros rolls his eyes. Fine. Tell them.
Why'd you say it like that?
Well, because I don't know if we can trust these people. We just met them. I know it.
I have this fun idea. Dalcom's gonna drop to the ground, cross-legged, Doctor Strange style, casting There we go.
The hell are you doing?
We cannot lie now.
Oh, you casted a Zone of Truth.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
You ask questions, we can answer back.
Names of...
And we can do the same.
Would you betray us if we were to tell you of a looming threat to the world?
Are you the looming threat?
No.
I would not.
To answer your question...
Would you, Leenie?
Lloyd, to answer your question... If it means protection of the realms... I would not lie or deceive you.
Yeah, she probably passed the save. I don't know if she even chose to fail it or not.
I won't tell you guys if she did or not.
Yeah, don't. I wouldn't know.
So. Moros reaches into his backpack and pulls out the sketching with the maps. And he hands it to Lloyd. Do with this as you must. You know, with all the bases, remember?
Yeah.
What is this?
These seem to be not just depots. But I guess hideouts, strongholds, something of the sort for... I don't know if you know what these things are, but they're called mind flayers.
Her eyes widen upon hearing the word mind flayers. I say we should probably speak in a more private chamber, if you do not mind.
Yes, yes. Let's go. Let's go.
She raises her hand, and around her hand is a bracelet with a warhammer on it, and it lights up, and it teleports you guys.
Have fun.
As you are all teleported into this room, you can see a desk with a chair behind it. There are banners all around the circular room of warhammers. There's a statue of what appears to be some sort of effigy to Ulteus. They are a smaller statured person wearing heavy armor. You cannot see their face, but coming out from underneath the helmet is a very large beard. They are holding up a warhammer with a single arm and donning a shield in the other. And Evangeline gestures for you all and says, "Take a seat. So tell me, what do you know about the Mind Flayers?"
"Well, here's a map showcasing their strongholds, where they're seated."
Map. She pulls out another map, a map of the continent of Lodrianth, and starts to align the two pieces of paper together. The craters. The craters were the missing key. She lets out a heavy breath. "Have you all encountered a mind flayer before?"
"No, never. Never done."
"Yes."
"And I assume you saw what they did. They likely were probably feasting on someone's brain."
"Of course."
"Nasty bastards they are. Myself, I was hired by King Rexolarian V on a mission to head into the Underdark quite some time ago. And when I went down there, I had a whole platoon of soldiers come with me. And that's when we first ran into the Mind Flayers. We were ambushed by walking brains. We call them intellect devourers. They took some of my men, took control of their minds, and they were led by a single mind flayer. And this mind flayer started feasting on the brains of some of my soldiers, knocked me out unconscious, and some of my soldiers went missing after that. I don't know how I escaped or survived, but I was fortunate enough to do so. They must have thought me dead. But it seems like...
more than likely would have poked a hole into your pretty little skull."
I don't know why they didn't.
"Too pretty."
Maybe they thought I was dead and they can't eat dead brains. Maybe the intellect of ours couldn't get root into my brain because they thought I was dead. I don't know. All I know is I got lucky. And I want to eradicate every single one of them. That is my life's goal."
"Well, there might be a little puzzle piece that I could, you know, throw in here. There is one mind flayer known as the Betrayer. Traitor, betrayer. He's not working with the fold. Maybe he saved your life."
"What do you mean, not working with the fold?"
"He said he's no longer connected to something called... what was it? the hive mind or something.
Hive mind? So these mind flayers, they share one mind? They're not like just, I don't know, creatures from the underground?
Creatures from the underground? They're not creatures from the underground.
Well, then where are they from? That's where I encountered them, so I assumed so, but...
Well, they're not
from... What do you think made those creatures?
Meteors? I mean, it is called the Falling Stars Calamity.
Well, what if they came with the fucking meteors?
What are you implying, Moros Omenborn?
I'm implying that they are not from here. The traitor told us himself. They are not from here.
The meteors are them.
The meteors were them. Perhaps something went wrong in transport and ships crashed here. Perhaps they meant to come here to take over.
By the way, this entire time, Dalcom has been polishing the statue.
They have come here. And the traitor wants to leave. The rest of them I do not know. But in order to leave, that would mean many different things would have to be accomplished. I don't trust any of them. And to expand upon what Lloyd was saying about a hive mind of some form, from what I can gather, I am a bit of a monster hunter. That is my profession. What I can gather from my studies of them is that whatever the greater being, the hive mind, wants, these smaller subjects, these mind flayers, they will make that their core objective. They still have some form of, what's the word, individuality, but it's very limited. It's to meet those goals. Perhaps this traitor is free of this link to this hive mind. But they are great in number, and there's a reason why we have not gone and tried to deal with this problem ourselves. We are not talking about a handful of them per crash site. We are talking about strongholds. We are talking about an army, perhaps, trying to leave this place or take it over. And we don't know who is in league with them, because any one person can be. And I'm not too sure you, and he points right at Evangeline, whatever her name is, are not controlled by them yourself.
I can guarantee you I am not controlled by a mind flayer.
Do you know what they do to some people?
Besides eat their brains and take control of their bodies?
Well, not eat their brains. They put this little worm thing in there. And that takes over their minds. It is a slow, gradual process. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a quick one either. You were unconscious. You don't know why they saved you. You don't know how you lived. They could have easily implanted one of these leeches, larvae, whatever you want to call them, and it could be sitting inside your head right now.
Mm-hmm. If that's the case, when I entered the city, they would have found one in my brain, no?
I have no idea. I'm new to this city. I have no idea how anything works here. If that's how it works, then that is good. And then my concerns are alleviated.
Is it magical?
But you have to understand our caution. We have run into others that have been exposed to this.
I don't know if those things are magical.
I don't either. They are biological life form. But you already know what we've come here for and what information we have. If you were a mind flayer, you may have already turned on us and tried to kill us.
Considering I have you three in a room by myself, you'd probably be right.
We'd be dead. We'd be very dead.
So,
but forgive me, Evangeline. You must understand our caution. We have come a long way with information that could very well mean the fate of the realm is at stake, and we do not want the enemy finding out this information.
I absolutely agree with you. Now that you bring this up, now that I think about it, they could take control of people's bodies. Who says that they haven't even supplanted themselves in positions of high power?
That is exactly our concern. That is why I am cautious about sharing the information with you. We worry that that is their goal, to supplant those in power, take control through a shadow network. They could already be in charge and we not even know it.
Yeah, they could be in charge of Skywatch.
Why is this here? And he's pointing at the circle that is around the fucking capital city.
Does that mean there's a base at the capital city?
A large one.
Fucking nine.
Each of those circles, and Moro starts circling each one of these, no matter how big or how small, you will find them there, or not far from it. We encountered them in a small village. It's where Lloyd and I first met, and it is where we met the host of the Crimson Bull, a man named Chorus. It is there. We went underground, met these things head on, escaped with our lives, came out with some information, and the information being this, that they exist. This is their map of where they are. I must say, people in the city have lots of technology and such. This map is going to stay with us. You may snapshot it or whatever you do here, sketch it, I do not know. But the map stays with Lloyd and I. I cannot trust anyone else with it. You are free to look at it as much as you like or sketch it out. But this one remains with us.
No, it's fine. Now that I can make the connections that most of the craters on Lodrienth are created by and are bases of these mind flayers, I shouldn't need a sketch of the map. However, you do know that there's a crater in the Undercity, right?
Moros looks down at the map and sees the circle. Is there a circle for the Undercity?
So there is a circle on the map that's on this island.
Okay, so yeah. Moros looks at it. I actually would have assumed it was above ground. You're saying that the crater itself is located underneath?
Yes. Perhaps someone used a powerful spell to repair the mountain thousands of years ago after the calamity, I'm not sure, but it is underneath the city. I did get taken down there one time, but they're very keen on not letting people take the great elevator to the Undercity.
What the hell is an elevator?
Well, they don't call it an elevator, but it can elevate you or de-elevate you.
That's what it is.
So I call it an elevator, but they call it something a little different. They call it the Aflaran Great Lift.
Self-explanatory. Okay. Very well. Well,
damned lift.
We.
Ooh. Why do you not like the lift?
Well. When I was younger, me and a few of the other orphans decided we wanted to see Eflar. Couldn't get the lift working, so we climbed it.
What? It's very big. Why would you do that?
Because this was after the Civil War and Eden.
Yes, I know about that.
We were just kids. We didn't want to be down there anymore. Our parents gone. We thought Eflar would be better. Turns out they don't really like us wretches and Mongols.
They do seem very, there is a term, not liking of other groups.
Prejudice.
Thank racist. You. There we go. Prejudice.
Doubt. Well, they were a closed off nation, so.
Mm-hmm.
Until recently.
Yes, Morris.
Lady Evangeline, if you would but a moment give me a quick second with my ally here. And he grabs Lloyd and kind of drags him over to the side for like a little huddle, the two of them.
One.
Okay, Lloyd. I'm going to be honest with you. I have no recollection, no understanding of why we're here. I mean, I get it, the Arcanium and all that stuff. But, like, why are we here in this place? And with these people, and why are we even giving them this information? I mean, I know about the web and all these things, like I said, the Arcanium, but maybe can you remind me why we're here? I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you, without Chorus and Echo here, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing.
We have to find the source, the very thing that uses the Arcanium. We either need to destroy it, seal it, or take it for ourselves. It's the only way we'd be able to combat fucking swarms of these godforsaken mind flayers.
Moros nods. Okay, the source being... The source of what?
Eflar's technology. The magical technology that they have.
Oh, this is just...
It wasn't just created by random artificers?
Artificers.
Artificers. I'm slightly more educated than you are.
Yes. Moro says, then he looks kind of down. I know how to count to 8. Thank you.
Wow. You've come so far.
How will I ever get to 9 without Covers? Son of a bitch.
But yes, we need this MacGuffin. It's the only thing that I know. Because what if the Mind Flayers are in the High Council? What if they plan on taking it? You think the High Council would even listen to any of us? They think they're secure. For them, there's nothing in the world that could stop them. Eden is nothing more than just a thorn in their side. So if there is a mind flare within the High Council, they'll never know. So we need it.
Need what?
The MacGuffin.
Lloyd, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm so lost right now.
Our entire goal, our entire plan, it was to get here. To find it, to find the MacGuffin.
Okay. Find the MacGuffin. I can remember that. The MacGuffin is a person. Sounds like a name.
No.
It's a monster.
No, it's an inanimate. It's not. It's not flesh. It's an item. A very powerful magical item. As far as what it looks like, as far as anything else that it does outside of creating magical wondrous technology, I have no clue.
MacGuffin, how do you know about this?
How do I know about it?
Yeah, how do you know about it?
From my time in the web.
Okay, I mean, that makes sense. Okay, I think we're good on the huddle then. We can go back to them. Dalcom, because he's kind of staring at us. He hasn't blinked this whole time. He hasn't blinked at me. Morrow's gonna grabs Lloyd's head and turns it towards Dalcom, and you can see Dalcom's eyes are just staring at the both of them. He hasn't blinked. His head's kind of tilted a little bit, and Morrow just whispers to Lloyd, "He hasn't blinked in 10 minutes."
We've been here for 10 minutes.
It's been a long time. They've been very patient.
All right, huddle time over. Break.
Okay. Morris claps his hands and walks over to the other side. Yeah, but we know why we're here.
Good talk.
We're here.
So, we probably should let Leenie get back to her work. Very busy. She's very busy.
Well, we could use some help.
I mean, that's why I'm here. I spoke with her, and we've decided that I will escort you all while you are here.
Oh, you huddled while we huddled. How clever of you.
No, she just looked at me and said, "They're your problem." And I said, "Okay."
Problem?
Well,
I never.
You do have your friend has a web tattoo on the back of his skull. And that's a bit of a problem.
As we talked about before, that word prejudice, I think you're being a bit prejudiced now.
We don't think it's a problem. Eflar thinks it's a problem.
So you're gonna chaperone us so that we don't get in trouble while we walk around and do whatever we're doing.
Yep. Well, while you're here, I will be with you. Making reports, but, you know.
Making reports?
Yes. On our progress. I'm to aid you all in what you need to do while you're here. While ensuring you don't get, tossed in jail for no reason.
That would be good. Yes, that would be good. Very well. You can report on our doings and our findings to her and to your order, and you can hang out and help us out here, but I don't know. Lloyd, are you cool with it? I mean, we kind of need him.
Malcolm's going to look at your sword, the non-broken one, and Do you mind if I, see that real quick, please?
See what?
Your sword.
Morris looks over his shoulder. It's, holstered over his shoulder.
You can take my hammer. I will give it back.
Morris hands him his sword, but he takes the hammer back, and he takes the hammer in return, and he looks at it.
And Dalcom is immediately going to start polishing your sword, and after a few minutes, it is the shiniest the sword has ever been. At this point, you'll notice all of fucking Dalcom's armor, like, glistens. He's very, very particular about making it.
You cut out there. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Everything Dalcom wears is like very, very polished and very, very shiny. And he makes your sword super polished and shiny as well. He's very particular about all his stuff being like very clean and very, very shiny.
Oh, what'd you do that for?
It was crying. Your sword was crying.
Crying?
Yep.
You got rid of all the rust.
Yep. Your sword was in pain. It needed to be cured and helped.
It needed none of that. How am I supposed to give my foes tetanus without the rust?
Well, your sword now it cuts better. It's sharpened. No more need for slow deaths. And you can have quick ones.
He looks over at Lloyd. Clerics, am I right? And then he puts the fucking sword back in his holster. Thank you.
Oh, I already did thank Lloyd's. You. Lloyd's what? Is already very shiny.
What in the hells?
I did it when we were walking here.
Morris looks at his armor. Looks at Dalcom.
You no. can see your face in Dalcom's armor.
Well, Dalcom, you've polished that sword quite well.
Yep. It was very sad.
I have a rod that you could polish as well.
Can I see? Let me see.
No.
What?
No. You do not want to see it.
What do you mean?
Why not? Why? If it is a weapon in need, I am compelled to make it better.
No, it's not a weapon.
Oh, in that case, I don't care.
It's an immovable rod here.
Oh, thank God! Oh, praise be to the wild mother.
The moment you say it's not a weapon, he loses all.
He's used it like a weapon before.
I have.
Mm-hmm. It's. I don't hear its voice. I don't care.
You know, maybe we don't need the cleric.
They will.
Well,
your swords and armor are very happy with you two, though. I will say that.
Like happy as in, working condition?
Happy. Minus the rust, you do take care of your sword. Just, it wished you would polish it every now and then.
Well, I guess now that we're on our own. First things first, we need to get ourselves acquainted with the city.
Yep. Ooh.
Take a bit of a rest.
I do have lodging for y'all. If you would like to come.
I mean, I could use a rest. As long as it's not some sort of backwater.
What? No. We are in the city. We have a nice inn. We are using.
I'm going to need a new mask and maybe a change of clothes.
Yes. Do you have a hood?
No.
Well, hold on. And he reaches into his bag, shuffles around for a bit, and he pulls out a hood for you. Here you go.
Fine. It's not very stylish, though.
Nope. It's not. You can keep the wig if you'd like, though.
What wig?
He's already grown attached to it. Never mind.
What are you talking about?
Of course he's attached to it. It's his hair.
I'm... You've broken him. He just doesn't know how to respond to this.
Oh, gods, he's finally gone quiet.
You got, like, something I could wear over this.
He's handing you the hood, and he's just still, like, repeating I over and over again.
Cloak.
You
know, Skywatch has seen what I've been wearing, so.
Starts looking through the bag again, pulls out a blanket.
They'll definitely know that I... Yes, that'll work. That'll work.
It cuts holes in it for your arms?
They're gonna think I'm a crazy person. Fine.
Here you go. He hands it to you.
He's got a poncho on now.
Yeah.
He's basically got a poncho with a crazy-ass wig. Yeah. And a hood.
I totally don't look suspicious, guys.
I mean, could be worse. We could be walking around with a giant 8-foot-tall minotaur. We would stick out even more. Instead, we'll walk around with a tiefling with deer horns, stag horns, whatever she said they looked like, and a giant fucking bird. We don't stick out at all.
No, you're fine. There are weirder groups for sure. Have you not seen the robot people?
What's her name?
Evangelion.
Evangelion. Evangeline. Evangeline. He puts his hand up, you know, as like an apology. Evangeline. Could we perhaps be released from this chamber? I'm sure you grow quite weary about talking.
Quite fucking much. She snaps her fingers and you all are teleported back to where you all initially met her in the multi-spired church in the interior of it.
Charming woman, isn't she?
She's very nice. She, a lot on her plate. Very much.
Loras is walking out of this bitch.
Very stressed. Blames herself a lot.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are going to end tonight's episode of Tales of Lodrian. We would love to thank you for joining us this evening. If you haven't already, please follow us on all of our social medias. We are on Facebook and Instagram at ForgeD20 Podcast. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and much more. We would also appreciate if you guys could check out our Patreon, where you could get some exclusive benefits as being a patron. Our current patrons that we would like to shout out at the end of this podcast are Melanie Droz, Melanie Cochialone, and Anakin Gross. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Much love. Take it easy.